Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You realize we spend a third of our life sleeping? I know, stuck in traffic was a good guess too, but now that you know you sleep so much, why aren't you sleeping on the most comfortable mattress arguably made in America? A brand new iComfort Eco by Serta. It's supportive and designed to keep you cool, comfortable, and feeling restored. Or check out Serta's Perfect Sleeper for pressure-relieving comfort and support while maintaining a balanced temperature. Serta mattresses made right here in Michigan, and they have been for over 110 years. Go to Serta.com. Find a retailer near you. That's Serta.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. I would happen to be JR. Yeah, that's me, of the JR Sport Brief show. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. And this is where I'm going to be, here with you on the radio for the next 2 hours. I appreciate you. Thank you. So whether you're listening on the free Odyssey app, whether you're tuned in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, you could be locked in on SiriusXM channel 158, or you could be listening on a smart speaker. I just say thank you. This is halftime of the show. You could say this is the third quarter, the start of the third quarter. And yeah, please believe, at halftime, I have myself a PB&J sandwich, I listen to the coach, and I get ready to play the second half, okay? We get started 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. It's been a busy night so far already. It's been a busy Monday. It's been a busy weekend. Some of the things that we've already discussed tonight, Pat Fitzgerald of Northwestern, he's been given the boot. More information coming out about the hazings, at Northwestern. And then we even found out that there were some racial issues, as some of the players have said that they were not treated in a respectable manner. We've heard about Bob Huggins saying that he never resigned from West Virginia. He wants his job back. I don't know how likely that's going to be. We talked about Victor Wembanyama having a bounce back game in game two of the Summer League, going from 9 points this past Friday night to 29 points on Sunday, and then we will not see Victor Wembanyama competing any further in the Summer League. And then tonight, how about this? Major League Baseball, the Home Run Derby, took place in Seattle, and we have a winner, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He beat Randy Arozarena of the Tampa Bay Rays in the finals, and now Vladimir Guerrero Jr. can now say that I also have a Home Run Derby championship, just like my dad. Knowing that this game is taking place or took place, the Home Run Derby did, in Seattle, Ken Griffey Jr. was on hand. But I would say that maybe the most exciting TV moment tonight that wasn't a home run was when Marshawn Lynch, the former Seattle Seahawk, came out to get ready to present the trophy, and yes, the home run chain. This is what it sounded like on ESPN.
Look who it is, Marshawn Lynch. He's got the championship trophy. He was a champion with the Seahawks. Skittles himself comes over, gives a big hug to Julio Rodriguez. But Marshawn Lynch looks like he can get into home run derby.
You see the chain he has on?
I see the chain. I see the calves. I see the thighs. I see a lot. Yeah. There's a lot to see.
That's coming at you. I am getting out of the way.
Okay. Well, that was quite the evaluation of Marshawn Lynch. And after Vladimir Guerrero Jr. won, Marshawn Lynch had no problem bestowing upon him the chain. I know Vlad Guerrero Sr., he ain't get no damn chain when he won the Home Run Derby. Good on his son. And then we know that the actual All-Star game is going to take place on Tuesday night. And it seems like it just came out of nowhere. So shout-outs to all my folks in the Pacific Northwest who are going to be checking out the All-Star game. You always got to make things fresh and cool and new. Thank God baseball has done away with the home field advantage in the World Series aspect to the All-Star game. That was always a bunch of trash, trying to get people invested after Bud Selig didn't know what to do after a tie and they ran out of players. So you always got to keep things fresh. And speaking of fresh and interesting, the NBA decided to provide more details on its in-season tournament, the NBA Cup, that is going to be awarded to a squad come December. Now, this is a massive change from what we've typically seen in basketball, or I'd say any league here in North American sports. To think that throughout the course of the season, things aren't necessarily going to stop, but they're going to be adjusted to have a tournament. And so let me break things down for you. The NBA season is still going to be 82 games. That hasn't changed. But what is going to change is early on in the season, where you can go ahead and take a look at specific days. Every Tuesday and Friday, starting on Friday, November 3rd, is going to be dedicated to this tournament. And so NBA teams have been siphoned down into five groups. Every team in a group is going to play each other one time. From there, you're going to find or take the top teams from every group. They're going to advance in addition to two wild card teams. Those are the two teams with the best records that didn't advance or weren't the top of the group. And so that's eight teams. Are you following me so far? That's eight teams that are going to move forward, and they're going to participate in a knockout round. And then they're going to move forward towards a championship that is going to be held in Las Vegas on Saturday, December 9th. And the semifinals are also going to be in Vegas December 7th. So you don't have to wait too much long before we go from four teams and then bring you down to the championship on Saturday, December 9th. And so the NBA is really putting some juice here into the early part of the season. Let's keep in mind, historically, and it was changed a few years ago, the season would start right before Halloween. But now, to stretch things out, the season pretty much starts in the middle of October. We're going to have to wait about another month or so before we get this full schedule that comes out. And by the way, yes, the teams that participate in the final, they will be playing an 83rd game. This championship game will have nothing to do with the stats for the regular season, et cetera, et cetera. But every other game here in this NBA Cup will. And so all these teams will play 82 games, except for the two teams that move to the championship. And this is supposed to add juice. Now, do I think it's going to be all that interesting out of the gate? It's going to be a little confusing. There's going to be some folks who go, why are we doing this? This makes no sense. But the NBA is going to add some interest. And then at the end of the day, the fact is, the players are going to, they're going to make some cash. I'll tell you about that momentarily. Before we do that, let's hear from Trae Young. As the NBA shared some of the groupings for the five groups, Trae Young was on stage. And he said, yes, this is going to add a little bit of extra juice that we can go out there and compete for something else besides just the championship.
I mean, it's just it's an exciting time to play more basketball. I mean, you're playing for another award, something special. And so it's just going to push us and get us ready. And it keeps teams, prepared, all season long. So, it definitely helps leading up to the big goal at the end, too.
Yeah. Well, that's from a player's perspective. What about someone who's won a few championships multiple ways? What about someone who's currently coaching? I guess you can call them a championship caliber team. What about Steve Kerr? Steve Kerr likes this this NBA Cup. Listen to him.
I'm excited. You know, the play-in tournament has been awesome. You know, we've been part of that as a team, both being in the play-in tournament and trying to avoid it. And I think being creative with the regular season has been really successful. I'm excited about this midseason tournament, too. I think it's going to add an element of energy and excitement for the players and the coaches and the fans. So I think it's a great idea.
Okay. You heard it from Steve Kerr. And I told you about the cash prize, like the winnings. Here it is. The team that wins the tournament obviously wins the NBA Cup. But when it comes down to the cash, each player on the winning team will take home $500,000. Players on the second place team will get $200,000 each. And then players on the losing semifinals teams, the final four, they'll get $100,000 each, and the quarterfinalists will get $50,000 per player. And so if you win this whole thing, ain't nothing wrong with a $500,000 bonus. Now, is that a big enough bonus for NBA players, guys who are now clocking? I mean, if you're a star, you making 40, 50? These guys are moving towards $60 million. Is a half mil going to move the needle for them? Maybe not. But you're going to have guys on the lower end who's just going to say, yeah, I'll play an extra ball. I'll compete for a $500,000. And so I think there might be an incentive. I thought the financial incentive would be a little bit more. I think it's going to take time for the players to buy in. I really do. Because to know that we have the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of the year, and to know that these dudes are on guaranteed contracts, it's not the Hunger Games. This is not throwing everybody into a Roman Coliseum. Hey, you come out on top, you get the cash. I think it's going to take a while for the players to care. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Flute's calling from D.C., You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, JR? Good to hear you. You know, you know, it's Monday, and you bring it the day before the All-Star game. And it got me thinking, you know, first congratulations to Vladimir Guerrero, the father and son. You know, the father is one of my favorite players, you know, and then the son is coming along. You know, that's good to see. It makes me think I'm getting old, too. But yeah. I remember when the NBA, at halftime, there were three events that they had during halftime. They had the one-on-one tournament, where they had players play against each other, and they had the original dunk contest, and they had the horse competition. And a lot of people think that Larry Nance beat Dr. J in the original NBA contest. The first dunk champion in the NBA was Larry McNeil from the Detroit Pistons. He beat Donnell Hillman. And they would have the tournament at halftime. And each week, two more competitors would compete. And in the horse competition, you would see people like Pistol Pete Maravich against Paul Westphal. And they would do ball skills and trick shots that you never could even imagine. You know, you would run outside and try to practice them. And then they had the horse competition, well, the one-on-one, the horse, and the dunk contest. But, you know, to get NBA players to participate, you know, I don't think they would do that now. But, you know, it solved a lot of questions, you know, to see somebody, say, imagine Carmelo Anthony, you know, in his prime playing against LeBron James or Chris Bosh. He could probably play against Steph Curry. You know, the height didn't really matter because I remember that Bob Lanier played against Calvin Murphy, and Calvin Murphy defeated him. He was 5'9", and Bob Lanier was about 6'11", because he couldn't dribble the ball.
Ain't happening.
I know it ain't happening, man. It ain't happening.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What do you think about the tournament, the current tournament, the one that's going to take place?
Well, like you said, I think that the prize money is not enough, really, just going to motivate the stars. Now, the guys at the end of the bench, to fight for that $500,000, I think they'll, you know, put forth the effort. But I think these NBA guys are looking more forward to the end of the season, and I don't think that this is really going to catch on too much for the first-line players, you know, and especially ones that have multiple championships. I still think they're going to look for the end of the season and try to remain healthy. Because they're going to go for it because they're NBA players. But I think it's going to be more for the second-tier players instead of the starters.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a few years to catch on. Thank you, Flute, for calling from D.C. I'd be shocked if these dudes were running through the wall just for this first go-round. I think there's a natural curiosity from everyone involved to see how things go. I mean, if you think about just the Phoenix Suns for this upcoming season, you got Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. Between the three of these dudes, they're going to pocket anywhere between $35 and $46 million just to play ball this season. On the low end of the bench, you got guys who are going to make about $2 million. I mean, yeah, $500,000 for Watanabe. Oh, yeah, that's a big deal. But for Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and Booker, it's just, I'm going to bust my ass for an extra $500,000? I think not. I mean, if we can do it because we're competitive, yeah, sure. But I'm not going to potentially go all the way just to kind of wreck myself. And so it'll be real interesting to see how you get buy-in. I think the prize would have to be a little bit more. I don't know if this is going to be a full or true incentive to get guys to play. But the fan interest will definitely be there. The NBA is going to market these Tuesdays and Fridays as this kind of championship tournament days. And so there's going to be hype. There's going to be interest. It's going to take some time. I'd be shocked if this was just a giant success out of the gate. When the NBA had to start the plan a couple of years ago, the idea came out of COVID. You know, we had players who were lukewarm on that. LeBron said, you know, how much he hated it. Well, we don't hear much about that anymore. But the in-season tournament, it's going to take some time. George is calling from Stone Mountain here in Georgia. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, George?
My friend, this is about to be the biggest flop in NBA history. And coaches may be in on it now because it's politically correct to be in on it. But the minute a star player get injured, get an ACL or Achilles or whatever sort of major injury that crippled playoff or championship contention, coaches are going to be out of it. You may have basically the end of the bench players playing, you know, towards the latter part of this tournament. You know, they may get lucky the first year, but sooner or later there will be a big injury, and then that when the coach's interest and everybody else is going to be out of it, then you're going to be talking about, you know, load management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Big flop.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. I want to be clear here. These aren't additional games. These aren't extra games. These tournament games are going to count towards the regular season. And so there is an incentive for you to try to go out there and win. These aren't exhibition games. These are going to be games that count in the standings. And so if you want to talk about injuries that are going to take place in the NBA Cup or this in-season tournament, guys can get injured anytime. Or are we going to have a larger string of injuries because somebody's playing in a tournament game that counts towards the regular season? I'm not so sure. And so what happens when the tournament is over on December 10th and somebody blows out their ACL? You can't blame the tournament then, can you? You can blow out a knee and ankle. You can do that anytime. You really can. I don't think the intensity it's going to really be up that much, I don't think. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What are your thoughts on this NBA in-season tournament? They're trying to spice things up at the beginning of the year to keep teams interested, to keep fans interested, and they're even giving away prize money to the players. But is it enough money? And is it going to make enough of a difference to add some jazz, add some spice, and to get the players to not load manage, but to actually compete? I think it's going to take a few years. What do you say? 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get to your calls. We'll ask super producer Dave Shepard as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Rob Manfred reminds me of my buddy in college that when the professor says you got 20 days to do this essay, he'll wait till the last possible minute and stay up till 6 a.m. trying to get this essay done and half-ass it. The fact, and I was about to say that point until you brought it up, the fact that he could get up there on the dark, one of the darkest days in his sport, and laugh and smirk and crack jokes and practice his golf swing is sickening.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Never a bad opportunity to crap on Rob Manfred. No. You want to crap on Adam Silver, he has a chance, he has an opportunity. Outside of Ice Cube, if you missed Ice Cube, he joined us here on Friday. He has some issues with Adam Silver as he's trying to expand his big three. He says that the NBA is blocking them, that they have made it very clear to sponsors and television distributors, etc., don't work with the big three if you want to work with the NBA. So Ice Cube, not happy about that. 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, we did talk about this NBA tournament. The NBA is going to have an in-season tournament that's going to start later on this year. It's going to begin on November 3rd. It's going to have a championship game that's going to take place in Las Vegas on Saturday, December 9th. And basically, this tournament is going to run every Tuesday and every Friday, you know, basically from beginning of November to mid-December, give or take early December. And teams are going to be separated into five groups. And so each team is going to play the opposition one time. The top five teams are going to move forward, or excuse me, six teams, plus two wild card teams. So you're going to have eight teams that will just move to single elimination until we get down to one champion. That's it. And the winner, a guy on each team, on the winning squad, will get $500,000. Second place team, each guy will get $200,000 each. The semifinalists will get $100,000 each. And the NBA is trying to spice things up. This tournament is going to count towards the regular season. So every team will still play 82 games. We'll have an idea on the actual schedule about a month from now. And so we just have to wait a little bit longer for full details and scheduling, etc. And so all of these games are going to count. The stats, regular season standings, etc., except for the championship game, which is going to take place Saturday, December 9th, the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So I think this is going to take some time to catch on. I don't expect this to be a hit out of the gate. I think we'll probably get some great games here or there. The NBA has a great chance and an opportunity to market Tuesday and Friday as tournament games. It adds a little bit of juice and more curiosity to the beginning of the regular season. And so I don't think there's anything lost here for the NBA. I don't think there's anything lost, especially since these games count towards the regular season. And we might also have a couple of rivalries that are renewed. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Jason is calling from Cleveland. What are your thoughts, Jason? What do you think about this NBA in-season tournament?
I don't think there can be any thing lost by it. The thing that I can't understand is why people would be complaining about getting paid a bonus $500,000 for regular season games.
I don't think it's complaining about being paid a bonus for regular season games. It's a matter of the winnings being an incentive. The fact that it might not be enough for them to be motivated about it. Not the money, but the actual game.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because what's the big detraction about NBA is regular season means nothing, and it's all about the playoffs, and a lot of teams will just try and limp in. And you've seen it, some of these eight seeds go to the finals, so that perpetuates that whole ideology that – the regular season doesn't mean a whole lot. Just get into the playoffs and then go from there. So it makes sense from the trying to get the fan engagement in the regular season, right? I mean, what's going to do minor league baseball where you got to give away stuff every game to get people to think like, oh yeah, they care about it. they're interested.
Yeah. I think it'll take time, man. I think it'll take time. And thank you so much, Jason, for calling. I'm sorry, Jason, let him go. My bad. Brett is calling from San Diego. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Brett?
Hello, JR. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I love the tournament. I think the teams with the younger players, they're gonna go all out, and load management won't be a problem because you know they'll rest on the days that it's not a day of the tournament. You know.
You might have a point there. You think people are still gonna find a way to pack it in the early part of the season?
Pack it in meaning
I ain't going to play. It's not a play-in game, so I'll play in the play. Well, not the play-in. I'll play in the tournament, but the other games I'll take off.
Adding to what you said, like nothing's lost. So I just think that it's that the intensity is just going to be a little bit more. It's great for the fans, and yeah, I like it a lot. I'm excited to see. Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of great games, and we may see a team like the Rockets or the Pistons surprise two people.
Okay. No, yeah, there you go. You'll have some lesser teams that might be trying to put some stock into it. Good point. Thank you, Brett, for calling from San Diego. Ahmad is calling from Georgia. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts on this in-season NBA Cup?
Hey, JR, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm kind of split on this. I salute the fact that Adam Silver's trying to add some prestige to midseason basketball because of load management and all that. We've seen teams, players not play and not take it seriously. I know fans who say the league doesn't start heating up until after Christmas. I know some that even say it doesn't heat up until after the All-Star break. So I see where Adam Silver's coming from, and I see what he's trying to do. And I respect it, but the reality is I don't think you can make a tournament that's essentially another form of a championship and expect players to take it seriously from day one. Adam Silver has said he took this model from European soccer, but the issue with that is, and why it probably wouldn't translate as well over here, is that those tournaments have been going on for years and years and years, almost centuries. And if you look over there, you know, the leagues over there, they have the league, they have cups, they have Champions League where teams in other leagues play each other. And there's no doubt or question about the prestige of them over there. But the thing is, over here, I don't think you can expect a player to take it seriously from year one or two or three, especially when American sports has been built around you either there's only one winner and they get the championship, and if you don't get it, there's nothing else.
There's no relegation. There's only one NBA. It's not like we have, you know, the top. You know, it's not a California league versus the New York league. It's not like a G League team goes up and the Houston Rockets get sent down.
And also, I don't know if we're gonna have NBA Cup banners, championship parades, or any of that.
Oh hell no!
Because in general, it just doesn't fit anywhere near as close to what the actual championship is.
They've made it clear that it's not. They're just gonna get the money, and I think they'll be happy with it at that point in time. I mean, damn it, if we had an NBA Cup parade, what are we gonna do? Run it down Las Vegas Boulevard? Like, come on now. We don't need all of that. Hey, Shep, you hyped up about this this in-season tournament, this NBA Cup. How you feeling?
I like it. I mean, I like Adam Silver's ability to think outside the box. I I think this is a good thing. I think it gets excitement to the NBA at a time where a lot of people may not watch the NBA. Eyeballs may be on football more so at that point of the year. So I love it, JR. Like you said, we had the same complaints, the same reservations about that play-in tournament. LeBron James was going all drama queen on that. And you know what? It worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it'll take time. And it doesn't take anything, nothing, zip, zero, zilch. It doesn't take anything from the regular season because all of these games, except the championship game, are going to count towards the regular season and its standings. So, kudos to the NBA. Adam Silver has said that they've talked about this for more than a decade. And now this season, they're finally going to implement it. And I don't think there is anything lost. I think there's only things or something to gain here. Good on them. We talked about Major League Baseball and, you know, trying to jazz things up and be interesting. The NBA is forward here. It really is. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'll get some more of your calls here about this new NBA Cup and the in-season tournament. We got so much more to get into from the Yankees actually firing one of their coaches. I want to get into the home run derby again. I'm going to get to your calls on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, thanks for having me on. First-time caller. You got a great show. I really like your show. You're really patient, and I think you're really objective.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we went to break, we were talking about the NBA in-season tournament. It's going to run the beginning portion of the year. NBA teams are going to be grouped up into groups, play each other one time. Eight teams will move on to single elimination games, and the NBA will hand out the NBA Cup on December 9th, which happens to be a Saturday. Tournament games will take place on Tuesdays and Fridays. And this is basically going to be in the first month of the regular season, really running from the beginning of November with the championship that I mentioned coming on December 9th. So nothing wrong with anything new. The NBA doesn't lose anything with these games. They're going to count in the regular season standings. So will the stats, etc. The only game that will not count in the standings or statistically will be that championship game in Las Vegas. And the winning team, each member will take home $500,000 just for winning. 855-212-4CBS. NBA trying something new. Let's go to Barry. He's in Boston. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Jay, how are you, brother?
Good. Go ahead.
So before I talk about the NBA and how much I agree with this, I wanted to ask you a trivia question, sports trivia question, that a lot of your listeners probably have never heard of before. There's 2 days in the entire year that there's no games played in the four major sports. I want you to tell me what those 2 days are.
Yeah, it's typically today and tomorrow. Well, it's the ESPYs. Well, man, what are you asking me? I've done this for years because I've gone to the ESPYs for years and the All-Star game. So what are we doing?
No, it's the day before the All-Star game and it's the day after the All-Star game. Those are the only 2 days that no professional sports are played.
Yeah, I just kind of said something like that. But what else you got?
So I completely agree with the NBA and what they're doing, thinking outside the box to always want to improve things. I think this tournament is a great idea. It's the beginning of the season. Yeah, okay. I know Shep said it's, you know, during football season. But I think it's wonderful, and it's going to do nothing but help the NBA. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll find out soon enough. We'll know by the time December 9th comes around. Thank you so much, Barry, for calling from Boston. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike from San Francisco. You're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Go ahead.
Yeah, two things. I want to talk about Ohtani later, but on the in-season tournament, there were a couple of details, one that I think weren't mentioned and one that I have a question about. First of all, on the conferences, the second-place teams or wild cards, it's one from each conference, not just the two best, in case people get confused. And that leads to one of my questions, which is when you get down to eight teams, do you play the conferences down to one team and then they play the finals like they do in the regular playoffs, or are all eight teams seated in one field?
No, as far as I know, and that's a good question, the groupings come down to conferences. There's actually...
Okay.
One thing that I did not want to do is go too deep into the weeds because of how complicated this already could be.
Exactly.
And so I wanted to give it from a baseline. There's even a formula as to how these initial games or how the teams
– the groups were, are formed. Yeah.
Were grouped up, yes. A lot
it's
of it
random,
has to do –
It's randomized with, based on
well,
your
it's not.
Seating.
No, it's not random. It has to do with the records from
yeah.
this past season. So
I
it's
mean,
not...
for example, Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee are the top three teams in the East. They get shuffled for who's in which group, A, B, or C. That's all I meant by random. And then four through six get shuffled for who's in A, B, or C. So one doesn't always play four or six or whatever in their group. They're random within those little groups of three.
So since we wanted to get in the weeds, here it
yeah.
is.
Anyway,
here we go.
The other thing
and
that,
let's
about.
We'll hold on, Mike. Thank okay. you for choosing to confuse more folks. Hold on a second, okay? You ready for this?
Okay.
Okay. All 30 teams have been randomly drawn into groups of five within their conference based on win-loss records from last season.
Exactly.
Okay. So does that make sense up until now?
Yeah.
Okay. Eight teams will advance to the knockout rounds. The team with the best standing in group play in each of the six groups in two wild cards.
Right.
The team from each conference with the best record in group play, games that finish second in its group. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. The knockout rounds will be single elimination in the quarterfinals all the way down to the NBA Cup. Makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. And so what are you asking me next?
No, I'm just saying the one you just read doesn't say if the eight teams will be in one pot or if they're in conference.
No. It, from what I see, no. And this is what I also understand.
Yeah.
And I did mention this, and maybe this information isn't disclosed. The NBA is going to share information about the scheduling in about a month.
Okay.
So I think that may answer your question.
And then on the Ohtani thing,
yes.
I guess it doesn't make sense to me based on his comments and his, I guess, agent's comments or translator's comments. If he wants to get onto a winning team eventually, why can't they trade him and still try to sign him at the end of the year? And if they get like two or three starters and a couple of top prospects,
well,
why wouldn't that make Ohtani want to sign back with him? After he's rented out,
because
more than
yeah,
if they just let
I
him
would
out.
Find them. I would find them to be prospects, and I would think that something that the Angels have tried to peddle for years are actual prospects who lead to absolutely nowhere. I mean, the team has just crapped out over their last 10 games. They're now below 500. They're not
exactly.
going anywhere. If I'm Ohtani, you know what I'm doing. I'm going up the road, and I'm going to the Dodgers. I'm going to stay in the area. I'm going to go to Los Angeles and actually play for the Dodgers instead of playing for a crap team that threw Los Angeles onto the name despite playing in Anaheim.
I don't agree with you at all.
And I'm going to take all of the money that they have basically carved out for me by not handing out gigantic deals. I'm going to be a Dodger.
I'm just saying from the Angels' standpoint – he's more likely to re-sign if they trade him and get
a bunch more good
players on the team.
Mike, I appreciate the fact that you are very into the weeds, similar of the NBA tournament. Me, I'm not so into the weeds. I look at it from the baseline and keep it moving. I look at the Angels. The owner doesn't know if he wants to sell the team. The last thing that I'm going to do is think about things from the Angels' perspective, because that's like me getting in the car with someone who's driving drunk and trying to figure out why they're driving erratically. I'm not going to question it.
That's true, but they get to decide whether to trade him or not, that's all.
Yeah, well, they look like a bunch of dumbasses. They don't even know if they want to own the team.
I completely agree.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate
Have a good night.
You. You as well. Thank you. Hey, Shep, he was really digging deep into everything there. Why the Angels are being the Angels and the play-in, who plays who. I'm like, well, can we get there?
Listen, you know, here's another trivial question that, don't worry, I'm not going to subject you to another mundane question here. But Mike Trout has been with the Angels since 2011. What do Mike Trout have in common, JR, that you and I also have in common?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't go to the playoffs. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. He has never won a playoff game in his career, and we're talking about the Angels here? Come on, Mike. Like it's irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Yes, they have the two top talents in baseball. When one is healthy, Trout certainly top five.
Yeah, not even.
Not even. Okay, that's okay. Yeah, so Betts, Acuna, De La Cruz,
I don't know. Okay. I don't think about Mike Trout anymore. His numbers are okay.
Right.
He can't stay healthy.
He can hit for power. He still hits for power, but he's really diminished in average these days. But to your point, the Angels have got to be one of the most perplexing teams in the history of professional sports. I can't think of another team in our lifetime, JR, when they had the two, let's just say for a few year stretch, because this is year six now for Ohtani.
I know it's
baseball, but still.
Exactly.
But who
cares? I mean, let's look at it in a different way. The New York Mets, let's pretend that Scherzer and Verlander were in their primes right now. And let's just say they had ERAs like above two and they were striking out everybody. It wouldn't matter if the New York Mets, if the offense couldn't generate squat. And so to look at the Angels who can't find pitching to save their life, what does it matter? Their best pitcher is their best hitter. That there's nothing else to say. Let's just asking me what I think about the Angels and why the Angels are doing anything. Hey, can we move the Angels? Let's send them to Vegas and leave the Oakland Athletics in the Bay. It's a better idea. I'm going to get some more of your calls on the other side. We'll talk about the Home Run Derby, more of this play-in tournament here on CBS Sports Radio.
Nine out of 10 women feel pressured to conform to unspoken hair rules.
To fit in the picture, you have to change your hair.
Your curls are only acceptable if they're perfect.
I don't see anything that tells you to embrace your gray.
People show up with different hair. We should celebrate that.
Let's embrace the beauty of all hair. New Dove Love Your Hair Collection is gentle and sulfate-free with customized skincare ingredients. To love your silver, love your waves, love your curls, love the hair that makes you, you.
And I think that's beautiful.
New Dove Love Your Hair.
Summer's always the perfect time to invite your friends and family over for a backyard barbecue. And when you're looking to make your get-together a little better for you, Beyond Meat has you covered. Beyond's products are delicious, simple to cook, and can be added into so many different meals. It's seriously that easy. Like the new Beyond sausages, available in hot Italian style or brat. They're packed with protein, have that true meaty flavor, and sizzle great on the grill, just like you're used to. Plus, they're made with simple, plant-based ingredients that you can feel good about. And the best part, your friends may not even be able to tell. Look for the new Beyond Sausage, now with new meatier taste at your local store. For great recipes and where to buy Beyond Sausage, go to beyondmeat.com. And get ready to summer better with Beyond.
I would suit up in my uniform and you're going out on patrol. What are we going to do tonight? Well, we're going to rob some drug dealers. And I know how to do it really well.
Listen to and follow The Set, an Odyssey Originals documentary podcast series, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your shows.
I'm not a bad guy, man, but I loved being that dirty